In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. If we were not feeling insecure about streaking asteroids, gun violence in New Zealand or at home, unrest in the Middle East, a congressional impasse, people who don't look like us crossing our borders, or the progress of the transition in the parish, we'd find something else about which to be anxious. I don't mean to minimize these issues, but the feeling of insecurity is a fact of life. And I'm always fascinated how one anxious person can raise the level of anxiety in an entire emotional system, a family, a political unit, a workplace, or the church. Historically, the people of God are supposed to have an edge in coping with that feeling. And yet, from all outward appearances, Christians are not coping much better than anyone else. The edge of which I speak is the promise of divine protection for those who place their trust in God and live according to God's will. Regardless of what happens to the economy, regardless of what happens as a result of the acts of terrorism, regardless of how long a transition may take, unless we're living in the covenant relationship with God, we have no real security. Abram was 75 years old, childless, and without any land of his own, when God spoke to him in a vision. God's first words to Abraham not only told him of his unique role, but promised him divine protection if he would accept that role. God must have sensed Abraham's anxiety and insecurity because the divine voice said, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward." These words with which the sovereign God introduced the covenant with Abram and Abram's descendants are words spoken to us as well, for those who trust God as Abraham trusted God are his descendants. Abraham found favor with God not because he was born that way, or because he had the right surname, or because he lived in the right neighborhood, or because he had the right ethnic heritage. He found favor because he trusted God in spite of his feelings of insecurity. Trust triumphed over terror. How much better we would feel about our own destinies if those words were inscribed on the ceiling above our beds where we could see them upon waking and upon retiring. "Do not be afraid, Ron. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward." To begin and end each day knowing that you are unique, God has chosen you, and that God has a special role for you in the divine scheme of things, solidifies our identity and our purpose in that relationship and not in any other relationship. Because that identity and purpose is given to us by our Creator, we need not live lives that are limited by feelings of insecurity. You might think this is strange advice. Abram thought so at first. He said, "Sovereign Lord, what good will your reward do me since I have no children? I have no heirs." God showed Abram the sky and told him his descendants would be more numerous than the stars. Abram needed even more reassurance, so God instructed him to prepare a covenant ceremony. And that covenant ceremony was a turning point in human history. In this covenant, God made a promise with a people who would impact the history of the human race. When the sun had set, God ratified the covenant with fire and smoke. The description of the ceremony that seals the covenant is strange, and it seems to us to smack of magic and superstition. But it reflects the customs of the time. A smoking pot and a flaming torch passing back and forth between the two sides of an animal that had been split in half relates to the custom of two parties of a covenant doing likewise, the implication being that if either breaks a covenant, that one's fate will be like that of the slain animal. In this ancient custom, we find the origin of the expression to cut a deal. And God has never broken that covenant. Certainly, Abraham's descendants have. They've broken it countless times through their lack of trust and disobedience. Because of their own resistance, they have felt cut apart and lost and afraid. And I might add, the inability of the followers of the Abrahamic faiths to live in peace is but one expression of that ongoing insecurity and inability to trust God. Yet all of those faiths continue to declare that God has always remained faithful to the promise made to Abraham and his descendants. When we remember that covenant and meditate upon the faithfulness of God and place our trust in God and God's promise, we remain whole. Our lives are not divided. We are aware of our unique vocation. We can begin and end each day with confidence because we know we are in the secure protection of the one who is absolutely trustworthy. We can have a security within ourselves, which fluctuations in the economy, acts of terrorists or Congress or the federal budget cannot destroy. St. Paul had that sense of security and protection. It transformed his life. He called upon those early Christians to follow his example and to stand firm in their life in the Lord. He knew it was this inner security and reliance upon the promises of God that brought about the salvation of the world. The Savior had it. When some Pharisees came and warned him that Herod sought to kill him, he could have been terrified. Insecurity could have taken hold of him, and he could have abandoned his mission, even knowing that he could end up like the prophets who had gone before him. Aware that a cross lay beyond the acclamations of the crowd that followed him, he went on his way, doing exactly what he knew to be God's will for him. Well, perhaps you're thinking, wait a minute, doesn't the cross contradict God's promise of protection? Sure seems like it. On the contrary, the cross verifies it. Even the cross could not defeat God's purpose. God's faithfulness and protection will not be undone even by suffering and death. You can't stop Easter. Nowhere in the scriptures does God promise that being the people of God will be easy. But God did promise to be with us, keeping us together at all times. Those hard times that try us and test us also polish us and refine us, making us stronger and more confident. And when God's people confront the fickle forces that threaten us with various kinds of crosses, we will not be torn in two because we are heirs of God's promise of protection and fellow heirs with Jesus, who said, "Behold, I have overcome the world." We have a way of being lulled into a false sense of security when we're getting our bodily desires satisfied, whatever that may mean to you. Whenever we draw our security from the things that seem to satisfy those desires, they become our gods. And whenever that happens, we become like those of whom the prophet lamented, "They pray to gods that cannot save." And whenever we put our lives on the line for such gods, we're bound to be let down in the end. The God of Abraham is the only sure source of protection, and our deepest needs can only be satisfied when we are living faithfully in the covenant relationship established by that God. If the goal of your life is God's goal and is glorious enough for you to trust God to help you pursue it, you will be willing to pay the price. You will joyfully take up your cross, not with a curse, but with doxology, and pursue that goal unencumbered by feelings of insecurity, but liberated by God's promise of protection. Each of us owes it to God and to the rest of us to be responsible for letting trust in God help us manage how we participate in the community of trust. That's how we manage our insecurities and our anxieties. We start with our own. When something happens or when someone says something to us that makes us feel anxious, it's a time to stop. Take a deep breath. So my mother used to say, count to 10 and ask ourselves, where is that feeling coming from? Where is the trust I need to overcome that feeling? How can I rise above my primitive flight or fight instincts and respond from a perspective that is shaped by reason and by faith in God? After all, I'm not a lizard or a toad. I'm a human being created in the image of God, endowed with amazing gifts with which to pursue life as God intends for it to be pursued. The call to trust in God is an invitation to become more human, to rely more on the uniquely human gifts and less on base instincts. Do not be afraid. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward. That's the promise we celebrate in baptism and in the Holy Eucharist. That's the promise that makes our worship passionate. That's an everlasting, indelible, unbreakable promise from God, and not even death can take it away. That's why we say at the font, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked as Christ's own forever. That means do not be afraid. I will shield you from danger and give you a great reward. People are looking for a God like that, whom they can worship and serve with all their heart, soul, and mind. And it is our vocation to be the kind of community in which that God, enthroned upon our praises, is known to those who come among us seeking Him. Amen.